On Sports Radio 93.7, the Fan and Vinny and Cook Show, we get a chance now to welcome in a gentleman whose face and voice are familiar to college basketball fans all across the land. As a matter of fact, all around the world. He's the lead analyst for CBS Sports. Clark Kellogg spends a couple of minutes with us. Clark, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Vinny and Ron. I am doing well. It sounds like you guys are up and at them pretty good.
Yeah, well, you know, this is the time of year, right? If you're not pumped up this week, when do you ever get pumped up if you're a basketball fan, right?
No, I agree with you. This is a really special time of year, and it has been for a long time, and I think we're in for a pretty wild ride, at least the way things have appeared during the regular season, so I'm ready to get it going. It's already started, though, the craziness with the conference tournaments.
Clark, does the fact that there's no dominant team out there this year in college basketball make this more exciting for fans and also for the people that have to do these games? I don't know that you can put your finger on anybody and say this team is going to win this championship.
No, I agree with you, and I like both ways, Vinny, quite honestly. I'm one that enjoys and relishes whatever the particular season presents. I mean, I like when you have a prohibitive favorite or at least a consensus team to beat. I enjoy that. I think fans enjoy that. And also, when there doesn't seem to be a certain team out there, I look at a group of teams that look like they're built for a six-game run and perhaps could win it all. But then right after you put four or five, maybe six teams in that group, there's another dozen that seem to be maybe hitting stride and have enough material to get to Houston and maybe win it as well. So I like both scenarios.
Clark, our audience wants to know what you think about Pitt. Has it locked up a number one seed by winning the Big East outright, or does it still have work to do in the tournament, and what do you think about their chances?
I think they're pretty much locked on that number one seed line, guys. I look at Ohio State and Kansas. Their cement is wet. It's dry. It's done. Nothing changes them being on the one line. I think Pittsburgh's cement is close to dry in terms of them being a number one seed. Unless something really crazy happened, I don't know how, based on the quality of their work during the regular season, that you could move them off the one line. I think those three are pretty much anchored. And then the fourth one is obviously up for plenty of debate, and I think the conference tournaments will have some impact on who ends up being that fourth number one.
What number will we see on Sunday of Big East teams that will wind up in this tournament?
I think we're going to probably see 11. I mean, I think 10 are pretty much locked in there. And then you got Marquette would probably be the only one that I would question, but everybody else, Pitt, Notre Dame, Louisville, Syracuse, St. John. Yeah, I think you're going to look at 11, guys. That's what it appears to me right now. Marquette might need one more, but they haven't had any bad losses. The resume, I think, will stand up against teams they might get compared to for those last few at-large spots. So I think you're going to see 11.
CBS analyst Clark Kellogg with us here on the Vinny and Cook Show, Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. Clark, I'm wondering if Villanova belongs. 5-10 down the stretch here. Doesn't the committee look at how you finish? They've lost 10 of their last 15 games.
Yeah, I know they look at how you finish, but that's not the determining factor. I mean, if that was the only thing they were looking at, then clearly you would say Villanova's out. But there's enough left. It certainly impacts their seeding significantly. They were looking at being a relatively high seed if you talked about it 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. But now I think they still warrant being in the field, and it just impacts your seeding going forward.
With the way the Big East plays, this league is so good. It's so competitive. It's so tough. Is it almost the toughest league that you would – you know, to get into this tournament, I mean, you get battered, you get bruised, you get beat up if you're a Big East team. Then you got to go play in the tournament. I don't want to say is it fair, because it's not really fair or unfair, but should something be done about the Big East schedule and the way these teams beat each other up and then have to get into the tournament?
I mean, what would you recommend?
I don't know. I wish I could figure something out.
What are we going to change? I mean, there's an unbalanced schedule. The league is humongous. There are 16 teams. Yes, it is a very competitive league. It is an elite league, perhaps the best league in the country, top to two-thirds of the way through. And even the teams at the bottom can jump up and bite you. So it's a terrific league, and you do bang heads with one another. I would venture to say that on occasion that's helpful as you step out of the league and you're going to see teams that aren't in the Big East. I mean, a lot of conference teams will say it's nice to get away from the rigors and the familiarity of conference play because now you have a chance to go outside of that and stretch your legs and assert your will against other opponents. So, it is what it is, guys. That's a great league, and you're going to get banged around. That's why your non-conference schedule is important and how many games you win there. And then you've got to be ready to handle business in a rugged, rugged league.
Clark, there's been a lot of – the coaches in the Big East don't seem to like the double bye system here. 3 out of 4 loss last year. I think they're 3-5. I find it an excuse myself, and I like think coaches look to spin things the way they do.
Goodness, man,
I mean, why should a double bye hurt you? Can you explain that to me?
Well, I mean, you can look at both sides. I think you'd much rather play in a regular routine. And when you get accustomed to playing every 2 days or every other day on occasion, you'd much rather stay with that routine. I think coaches and players, people in general, are creatures of habit, so you'd be much more comfortable continuing with your routine. When that's disrupted, it changes things a little bit. The double bye means that you've done a heck of a job in the regular season in the Big Ten. So would you rather do a poor job during the regular season? I'm sorry, in the Big East, would you rather do a poor job and then not have the double bye? You got to deal with it. I mean, come on. You just have to deal with it. It may be a disadvantage. For some teams, it may be an advantage. Hey, you might have a guy that's bruised up and banged up. An extra day or two gives him more treatment, refreshes his body and his mind, and he's able to perform better. I mean, you can go any way you want with it. I mean, it's like silly putty. You can twist it and turn it and make it into whatever you want to. Play the games. Play the games and deal with what you got to deal with and see what happens between the 94-by-50-foot radius you're playing in.
And thank God for that, Clark, or else what would we be doing as sports talk hosts? We'd be sitting here talking to you about playing basketball with the president or something like that.
Actually, I wouldn't mind getting a rematch because he came back and got me at the wire there. And I don't know if it'll happen or not, but if we did actually do it again, I think I might I might get to the finish line first in a rematch.
For those who don't know, Clark Kellogg played, I think it was before last year's Final Four,
right,
played President
right.
Obama a match. Were you in playing, and it's POTUS instead of horse, of
right.
course, President of the United States. Did you were you nervous at all? I mean,
not
all
at
your
all.
Experience and everything.
You know what? It was so comfortable. Obviously, you start looking around. It was a gorgeous day. It was a postcard perfect day. You're on the White House grounds, on the basketball court there. President Obama did an interview with Harry Smith for news prior to coming down to talk basketball and shoot basketball. And, I mean, he and I are practically the same age. I had been with him. He had been with us, rather, Vern Lundquist and I, in January as a third analyst or a second analyst covering the Duke-Georgetown game in D.C. And there was a comfort level at that point in time. Obviously, that helped there be an additional comfort level when we got between the lines on the White House court, and it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was a wonderful experience and a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, but it was fun because there was common ground on a number of levels. Basketball, obviously, we're both passionate about. We're demographically the same age. The racial connection is something that was part of it. I mean, it was comfortable. And then once you get between the lines and there's a basketball and a hoop, for both of us, I think it made it easy and enjoyable, and I got a lot of positive feedback about it. So it was a real thrill.
Oh, it was a great piece. I mean, he looks like a competitor.
Oh, there's no question, a competitor, and he can talk a little bit too now. He can talk a little trash. When he started spraying those threes on me, he showed me a little bit of his trash talk game too, which was presidential, if you will.
Clark Kellogg of CBS Sports with us here on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan Cookie.
Clark, does Pitt win the Big East tournament this week?
You know, I was just kind of looking at all of these conference tournaments. I think we've only had a handful of the top seeds win them, and it's just difficult. I don't know. I don't know if they will or not. They're certainly capable. They're built to win it, but it won't be easy. I say I give them 70-30, 60-40 that they win it. 60-40.
If they do get beat, who beats them?
Oh, I haven't even looked at the bracket, so I couldn't even begin to tell you. I mean, I could make a teams. I could point out a team, but it might not be them based on where the brackets are. So,
how about Notre Dame? Do they have a shot at a number one seed? What do they have to do to get one?
Uh, I think if they won the Big East tournament, that would put them in good stead. I think it's them, probably Texas, and maybe Duke. I think they're probably, and I think those are the three teams that I would consider. And again, that's without going through a nitty-gritty sheet, but just based on what I've seen, I would probably look at those three teams, Texas, Notre Dame, and Duke, and then depending on who fares well, where in the conference tournament, that would determine who grabbed that last number one spot.
Clark, final question for you. Is there one team flying under the radar, one team we don't know about that we're watching this tournament next week, and we look at that team win a game or a few games, we're going to say, boy, Clark Kellogg told me about that team.
Shoot, man, I try to group teams, guys. It's hard to just pick one. You don't know where they're going to be in the bracket. Matchups are really the driving force in the tournament if you're not on the one or two seed line to me. Old Dominion, I like this Belmont team. I've watched them. They're deep. They space the floor. They play well in a number of areas of the game. Temple has been solid and kind of forgotten about. Xavier is really good with their backcourt. So I group teams, guys. I don't have one out there right now that I would say, you got to watch this team. I group them.
Clark, I thought of one more quick question. Pitt doesn't have that one go-to guy, and we hear it all the time.
Yep.
You can't win this tournament without that one go-to guy. Can Pitt win the national championship spreading the ball around like they do without having that one, NBA-type shooter? Can they still win this tournament?
I think they can, and I'll tell you why. I don't know how much time I have, but there are a couple ways to get it done. One, obviously, is you need a transcendent player who can sometimes win a game for you by himself. And that helps, obviously. Number of teams that have won have had that kind of player or maybe even two of those kind of guys. So that's important. But in a landscape where there is not really a dominant team or a stacked team, then it's a matter of can you force who you are on your opponent? Pitt is about sharing the ball, toughness, experience, defending, rebounding. That's who they are. Will that be good enough against a team that might have a couple of those elite level players? That's what makes it compelling and interesting. I think they can, and we'll see if they're able to do that. But I would always like to have one of those kinds of players that could just go get you a basket or a big night, no matter who you were playing against, because that sometimes is what it takes to be a champion.
Clark, thanks so much for your time. Enjoy the ride and enjoy the tournament.
Yeah, looking forward to it. You guys do the same. Thanks, now. Have a great
day. Thank you, Clark.
Thanks a lot. CBS Sports Analyst Clark Kellogg joining us here. It's Vinny and Cook on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.